Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
What is up, Les Gypsy Gang? We're back for another episode of the podcast, and this is a little bit of a different one, bit of a special edition, if you will. I was invited on a bit of a trip down to Wollongong with the guys from the Hypecast, Sel and Miles. They've both individually been on the podcast, but this was the first time that we'd sat and done one together, and we're included in this chat was a very special guest by the name of Alexander the Great Volkanovsky. If you're a fight fan like myself, you would know that he is the UFC champ in the featherweight division. He put a beating on Max Holloway, one of the greatest featherweight champs of all time, around Christmas time last year. He is set to defend the belt next weekend in Dubai on Fight Island. And we got access through Miles and Sel to watch the final week of his training camp. He did some sparring. It was insane for myself as a person that does martial arts to just see the intensity at which that guy trains. So it was really, really cool to be around him in the gym. So massive thank you to Miles and Sel for that opportunity. And then to get to talk to him on the podcast was amazing as well. The dude just got such an insane mindset. To say that he has a champion mindset is a massive understatement. So massive thanks to Miles and Sel and their company Combat Nutrition for helping, I guess, make that whole trip happen. Definitely would not have happened without those guys. Had an awesome time down there as well. Did some training. Jackson O'Brien was there with us as well. The film lord himself. So yeah, just a really rad trip with some really great guys. And I really enjoyed doing this podcast. We've got another one dropping as well with his coach Joe, which was just as cool. This podcast is brought to you, of course, by the guys at CMBT Nutrition, Combat Nutrition. You can head to cmbt.com.au and use the promo code GYPSY10. They are dropping their brand new pre-workout called Loaded. It is all natural. It is plant-based, and there is no crash for the days that, you know, you just kind of don't feel ready to train. This supplement can just help you get into the gym, and then the adrenaline can take over and get you through. These guys, they work with Alexander Volkanovsky. He was actually their first athlete on Combat Nutrition. So there's a really crazy testing process that has to take place to make sure that their products are free of tainted products that you don't want in there. So they go through a rigorous program so that Alex himself can take the product. There is no bullshit here. I've seen the guy take this product out of the packet that you buy and put it into his body. So this is not a there's no fugazi stuff going on here. Alex runs it, I run it myself, and it's been really great for my own training. Also brought to you by the guys at macrokitchen.com.au. Fresh meals, never frozen. They are made right here in Burley. I've been getting right into the meal prep thing, and I've been using the Macro Kitchen stuff as a bit of a supplement from my own cooking, just so I can actually get some nice meals throughout the week. They're awesome. They do delivery, you can do in-store pickup, or they've got a restaurant that you could dine in as well. It's just on the highway there in Burley. So Without further ado, thank you so much to Miles and Sel for the opportunity. Thank you very much to Volko. I cannot wait to watch him fight next weekend and bring home the belt. And really take in the words that this guy says in this podcast. He is a truly a humble, humble champion and a really, really great guy. Enjoy.
We're good.
Easy gang.
I think Let's do it. Is everyone rolling? I think we're all rolling.
We are.
Man, we got the Gypsy gang in the house. We got the combat lads, and we got the champ. What a combination! Damn,
that's a good combination.
That's a good combination. And this is your jam, so you can take this off, Jace. Kick us off, bros.
Well, I think for me, if I'm the champ, I wanna know. Are you still excited every time you hear the champ? Because it's like you work a very long time to get the title of the champ.
Man, it's well, I call everyone champ. That's a problem of mine. Like I literally still now. I say champ to everyone, and that's what they go, oh, no, you're the champ. I'm like, yeah, you're right, I am. No, but it's just, it's cool because a lot of people beat me to it now. That's just what, that's my go-to every time, champ. I'll always say that. But then now everyone's just like, hey, champ. I'm like, hey, champ. I'm like, I don't know what to say back, you know what I mean? It throws me off, but it's a quick reminder. It's like, yeah, I am the champ. But again, as I always say, anyone that knows me, I'm just – man, I'm just a regular bloke. I forget that I'm champ half the time, you know what I mean? I'm just I'm just a dad next door, you know what I mean? But that happens to be able to kick people's ass, so it's pretty cool. World champ.
I'm excited to have this chat, and I'm excited for that specific reason because I know, like, I've had a chat to Volks before and we've had a chat about his story, but it's an awesome story and it's super relatable. And I know that like Sel loves it, all that sort of stuff. Like being a dad, just like working his ass off, like his dream to be at the UFC and then be a champ at that level and it all coming true. It's like, it's just that perfect dream story. So it's like, why don't you even take us back, bro? Why don't you take us right back to like fighting on the local scene? And remember we sat down that one time and we were talking about how hard it was almost to the point where you just didn't want to proceed. Like you just wanted to give up. It was at that point.
Well, man, like MMA or any sport, you know, life in general for anyone can get, and it can get challenging, you know, and especially this sport, you know, I'll be lying to you if I said this sport was easy. Even now, like, you know what I mean? Like obviously you're still going to have the roller coaster, but I mean, you know, at least now you start, you know, once you get to the top, you start, you know, so you've got the benefits, obviously the money's better. But back in the day, you know, you're struggling. You really are struggling. And, you know, you got the support from your wife. We're putting everything on hold. I'm winning title after title, campaign after campaign, trying to get into the UFC. And that was my lowest point where I was really, like, I thought I did everything I needed to do to get in the UFC. So I had everyone pushing for it. I was getting finishes. I was, you know, the crazy win streak, you know, again, winning national titles, like seven of them, and then world titles, and then just missing out on opportunities, and some of the even bad opportunities where there was a management company that I wasn't even with that threw my name out to the UFC, and then the UFC even went to them with an opportunity and goes, oh, and then just so they could get one of their own guys, they made us, oh no, Alex, he's fighting for a title. He's not available. Oh, but I can give you this guy.
Really?
I can give you this guy. So these are little things that's happening. Yeah. And you could just imagine, I'm already like up to here, like getting, you know, I'm living at my mother's house. And, you know, again, the wife, luckily she's supportive, but at the same time, you know, even then actually, I had Ariana as well. So I made a promise to myself that I'll be in the UFC before I you know, had my firstborn, and that didn't happen, so that was hurting. But anyway, you can see where I was going. So everything's happening. You campaign after campaign's not happening. And, you know, it was crazy. Lowest point, I remember even going rocking up to the gym at a freestyle fighting gym. Joe sees me rock up, and then I can't remember. Honestly, this is how little what made me turn around and just have enough. It seems so little now. It was a video. This guy was going to do a promo for another campaign I think we're going to do. It was a little video, and then we're waiting to get it out, and then we couldn't get it out. And then just I sort of had news that I wasn't going to make it on this UFC card and thing anyway. And then I was just like, that's it. I end up just jumping back in the car and then took off. And then even Joe rings me up after training. He's like, oh, what's wrong? Something's up. Like, I've never done that before. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, oh, enough, and just played it off. And, you know, but that's what was getting to me. I was like, I'm going to have to give up on training full time. I'm going to have to, you know, work concreting again and all this type of stuff. And, you know, so I can move back into my house. And you know, so fighting was going to be, you know, just part time, you know, and that can be tough. So, but then honestly, that weekend, I like, you know, you stay positive. You always say stay positive. And I was staying positive for so long because I could have just went off the rails way earlier, but I didn't let that happen. That weekend, I end up getting a major sponsor that jump on board, which helped a lot. And then I got a UFC contract the weekend after that. So within 1 week, I went from the lowest. Yeah. Like, I'm telling you, I was about to, that's it, I'm done. But then I was like, no, don't be like that. I was still at the gym the next day. But I, you know, this, again, I'm pretty mentally strong, but it was getting to me for a while, you know, but I still stuck to it. And then that opportunity came. And that's
how
where
old,
things
How old was your daughter at the time?
She would have been, not even one then. Yeah. So, but yeah, because I remember, yeah, so she was born while I was in camp for the world title, for the PXC title. Mm. So that was, again, it was like, that was tough because I was like, I knew, oh man, I've got a kid on the way. I've got to start working. I've got to start, you know, making some money, and then I've got to get ready for this fight. Or, mate, the camps that I'd done, I would work, go to training, go back to work, then go back to training. And I was doing things like that, doing my own jobs. And, oh, mate, it was tough. But it's funny when you're, again, like your motivation, and we talk about having kids and the drive you get from that, and that's my main motivation. I'll tell you straight, like, I don't need nothing else but to know that I'm fighting for my family to make me bust my ass in the gym. And that was then, like, waking up early hours, helping at nighttime, like, with her, and somehow doing concreting in two sessions during the day. And it's just like, how do you do it, man? I don't know how I did it, but I did it.
It makes it more than more special though. Hey, it's almost like that graphic. You've seen that graphic of those two guys and they've got those pickforks and they're smashing at the wall and there's a diamond behind the wall. But one of them's just like so close, but he turns away. He's just like, it's too much. Yeah. I've done too much work. I'm not going to get anywhere. And the other guy finds the diamond.
Yeah.
It's such a common theme too, that you will hear from anybody that is successful in whether it's sport or whether it's business, that like, it was such a struggle until it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And everybody looks like an overnight success. Mm-hmm. And I think that a real good example of that as well is like Israel Adesanya. Mm-hmm. Because like when you come into like the public focus, then people can see, or like Sean O'Malley is like another good example. You get these guys and you're a very similar guy where it's like you come in and it's like, oh my God, this guy's coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And they're these superstars. And then if you really dig through the archives, it's like, these guys are making mixtapes and handed, you know what I mean? Like there's such a similar hustle with everybody at the top. And it's such a, you get such a concentrated look at those few years where you're like the UFC is building you up to be the champ. But it's like so many people and the people that give up, it's like, you weren't made for this, man. Like these are the guys that they don't give up. They do whatever it takes. And it's such like a common theme through guys at your level.
Yeah, man. Well, you're right. Like again, you get so many people that will say, it was like, oh man, that was quick. Like, oh, how quickly you got to the top and that. And I was like, going,
where were you? Yeah. What were you
watching? It wasn't quick, mate. Yeah. What were you watching? You know what I mean? Like, if you look at the whole career, all right, so I started when I was 22 years old. So that's, if you look at it, to be UFC champ in the like 9 years, okay, that sounds pretty incredible. But, oh, mate, there was a time, like, there, I busted my ass for a long part of that time, you know what I mean? And then
that's,
I was
not
taking
nine fun years.
And it's not just, oh, yeah, you shot up through the ranks. I was making sure I was getting all the toughest fights to get me there, you know what I mean? I was calling out fights that no one wanted and just things like that, you know, but people like will forget that and just be like, oh, yeah, cool, you got a title shot. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. That was pretty quick. I was like, nah. Yeah. It wasn't. So you're right. It is like that. It's hard to see that. Again, obviously they're not having a go at me, but yeah, and it is. But it is a struggle. But again, if you really got that commitment, and you know you need it, it needs to happen. Well, and then, like I said, this sport, mate, it's a roller coaster. You need to adapt to so many different things, physically, mentally, everything, financially. You know what I mean? It's just adapt. So is it luckily, really, I'm good at adapting.
The moment that you become a champ, is it really that different? Does everything just? Is it kind of like overnight, so many things change?
Man, I'd be lying if I said it was. You know, I'd be lying. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. It does make things a bit easier and stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, this, you know, you're still, like, I'm, again, like, I can sit there and be like, oh, yeah, I am the champ and I can lay back and not train. But, hey, I'm, can't do that. Yeah. Mm. I'm still like, that's why people go, how are you going to have that motivation to defend your belt? And I'm like, trust me. Like, you know what I mean? There's no other option for me. I'm going to get it done. That's just who I am. And again, I've got a family to feed and all that type of stuff. It's like, so I don't need motivation where, I need to keep that belt or whatever it is. It's not like that. So I refuse to lose. You know, I lose, that's four steps back. Mm. You know what I mean? That's my family struggling again. You know what I mean? Like, I've got to work my way back up. I ain't letting that happen. No one's taking that win away from me.
The debut versus winning the belt, because heaps of people talk about getting there, is like, you look comfortable as when you fought for the belt. It was like, I looked at you walking in there going, this is a foregone conclusion. He looks like too good, just no nerves, no nothing, just ready to go, compared to the debut when you were fucking amazing. But was there way more nerves on the debut versus fighting for the belt?
I don't really get nervous, to be quite honest. I don't, like, it's weird. This is good. I can sort of explain it. So what you're saying, I look very composed. I am composed.
Yep.
I keep myself so good at keeping myself composed, right? So I can keep myself at a good level. And I like to be there because I've got a game plan to stick to and everything like that. And again, I don't want to put myself mentally in a position that I'm not used to. So I don't, you know, you won't see me sitting in the corner listening to heavy metal music and pump myself up. It's like, when am I ever like that?
Yeah.
Never. So why would I put myself in that position while I'm in the cage? So I'm always trying to keep myself composed, but there's a pressure in doing that. You know, I've got like, I'm constantly trying to keep myself on a level. Like, don't let this get to you. Don't let this, you know what I mean? I'm constantly doing that. Like, even when I'm doing interviews or whatever it is, I'm all right. You know, you got to like keep yourself composed. So I'm constantly, there's a pressure of me constantly trying to stay composed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense.
So then straight after my fight, even walking out, I was like, yeah, trying to soak it up, but not get over too excited. I got a game plan to do, you know what I mean? Like, you know, try not to, you know, just all things like that. I'm constantly checking myself.
You're constantly just stoic.
Yes, I'm constantly doing this. That even the whole through the weight, all through camp, you know, I'm trying to, you'll be right. Like, you know, mentally keep myself in check and physically and, you know, diets and all this. You know, there's so many things. And then straight after the fight is where I don't have to control anything anymore.
Yeah.
And it's just let it go. So the emotions just flow. That's why you see me like, I'm completely different. So I can let it go. It's like the weight of my shoulders, you know what I mean? I talk about relief.
Mm.
I say that every time, even my debut and all that. Like you said, obviously I'm a lot more composed as I was then, but I'm still trying to keep myself composed all the time. And then right after there's relief, I can finally acknowledge the crowd, which I still am, but I can let the emotions fly. Look at them and like really feel the energy. Like, obviously I use the energy, but now I can just run with it. Just let it go. And if you're going to cry.
Yeah.
If you're going to just sit there and get excited and whatever it is, just I can let it go now. I don't have to try and keep myself chill, you know what I mean? So it's weird. I'm constantly doing that. There's this weird pressure that I don't know. I notice that the more and more I talk about it, I start to understand it now. But
that's why always
relief.
Had that?
I've always said relief.
Have you always had that control over, I guess, not letting yourself go to either extreme of your emotions?
Through what we do, even you know, even through interviews, like when you first start doing interviews and all this, like media and things like that. You know, again, like you're going to get sometimes nervous, but I don't let myself get nervous because I want to be in control. I love being in control. I have to be in control of myself. So that's why I'm always doing that, and I've always done that, you know, from growing up, always trying to keep myself level-headed in situations and things like that. So I just got good at it.
Do you talk to a sports psychologist ever, anything like that?
I haven't. Yeah. I honestly haven't. I think I do all right. So, like, you know, but at the same time, like, you know, obviously there's, you know, with everything, you can go the science behind everything, nutrition, you know, even like the things that we go into, all the one percenters, you know what I mean? So that's definitely something that I believe I can use. I feel like if they showed me a little tricks, I could use it really well. I honestly believe that.
Something that Sel and I chatted about heaps when Israel came out and said, when he came to the UFC, he used a sports psychologist. After his title fight, he got a sports psychologist and all these sorts of things. That vulnerability, we really loved. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know whether, obviously you did the same thing, because when you talk about the 1%, the one percenters, it's so interesting. And we just did a podcast with Joseph Coyne, who's now the director of performance in the UFC PI in China, and we were talking about how excited he was working with guys going from number three in the world to number one and what it actually takes. And it is those one percenters, those 1% things that they need to do or the adjustments that they need to make to become the number one. Mm-hmm. And I find that so fascinating. Like getting someone to a high level, cool. There's certainly a lot of skill in that. But then taking someone from being a contender to being a champ is just a whole nother game in itself.
And so then to be like a Michael Jordan is like a whole, you know what I mean? To be like, or a George St. Pierre, there's like something extra that's sort of going on there to even build on that, you know, which is even rarer.
What do you do? Mate, what are your one percenters?
Man, it's just, look, you know, I just, man, I'll be honest, when it goes, comes down to hard work and commitment. You know what I mean? So all these guys, you know, the names you mentioned, I guarantee you they're like, we all would have watched the last dance. You know what I mean? It was good, but you know what I mean? Just seeing, you know, some people can, you know, say that it was bad, but the fact that everything, you know, everything he did was just, he had to, you know what I mean? That was his main priority, is like just to get better, be the best. And, you know, yeah, exactly. Tunnel vision, and that's it. So, I feel like, you know, a lot of your champions and all that will be like that in a way. You know, I might not be like that with exactly how he is, but I mean, in the gym, like I said, I know, say, just as simple as me knowing my numbers on the assault bike. Mm-hmm. I know them numbers, even if I don't need to hit them numbers because I'm sore, like my body's falling apart. I don't care. I can't accept the fact that I'm not hitting them numbers. I'm going to hit them numbers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If these guys are twice my size, they have every right to beat me up. They have every right to hold me down. I don't care. I ain't letting them hold me down. You know what I mean? It's just, that's just how I've always been. I've always done that from when I was young. So even just as, you know, I think one thing, if someone could look at me at training and separate me from your average Joe, it's obviously, it comes down to hard work. And like, you know, sometimes people just go, how did you do that? Like, how did you get through that session? It's like, I don't know, I just did. You know what I mean? I'm just, you know what I mean? Just, and then constantly doing and put myself adapting, as I say as well, is a big part where I've just constantly done that whether it starts from be just competitiveness, obviously, you know, that's where we're Michael Jordan. Yeah. So you could just see everywhere, but I was always like that too. So there's always going to be there, but then just having the ticker and it just, I made it who I am now. Mm-hmm. So I don't need to, that was something growing up. That's a good way of putting it. I am just a hard worker now. That's who I am. That's all I know. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't born like that. I just built that, and then now it's just not an option. It's just all I am. It's who I know.
It's a default setting, yeah.
And now it's just, you get me there. I need my coaches to pull me back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's legit. Like my Joe Lopez, my coach will tell you that, because I need to tell him to pull back.
Well, that must be the next step of the equation, because like we talk about, you know, high-level CEOs, and I want to get to obviously you connecting with Mark Burris and all of that happening. And I know that's been in the media heaps, which is awesome to see you guys collaborating. But you look at someone like a CEO or high business executive, everyone hears about, to be an effective leader, you need to delegate, right? And the same would go for an athlete. You obviously delegate all of the things that, you know, to experts, your nutrition, you're with Geordie, you got, you know, Joe, and you've got the CKB guys and all these people around you, and you've delegated sort of to them to look after your nutrition, your S&C, BayMed, all these sorts of things. And you can just focus on doing what you do, and that's moving and recovering and all those sorts of things. Is that a big part of, you know, getting that 1% as well?
Mate, 100%. You know, having the right information and the right knowledge is key. And I know this through trial and error. Like, you know, even now, I look at my body now when I'm this close to a fight, and I can see that, you know, how much better my body looks, where before I'd be depleting my body, because I didn't know it any better. I would literally be like, I need to lose this weight. So I was having nowhere near enough calories. I'm busting my ass as much as I did now. We've literally under, you know, 1,000 calories, or you know what I mean? Or like, how does your body do it? Like, are you, even though that's when I talk about making me who I am, like, I don't even know how you do it. Look back at it as like, how did you even get through some of them sessions? But I mean, you just do it, and then you know, now it's just like, now when I'm properly fed, you know, my recovery is so much better. Like, you know, when you've got the, just everything all about that. And even the, you know, even when it comes to training and like, you know, we do, you work all your different chains and you know what I mean? There's so much science behind everything.
Mm.
These one percenters in so many different aspects, especially it being MMA, then you've got nutrition, then you know what I mean? The list goes on. Mm. And then you've got the mental side of things and, you know, just everything. So it's 100, I'm all about that. And as what I say now, what we know now probably ain't going to be enough in a month's time.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to evolve everywhere. So there's new information when it comes to nutrition. There's new skill. You know, what I know now will not be enough in the wrong. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I could probably beat a guy now, but in a month's time, if I'm the same guy I am now, he could probably beat me then. You know what I mean? That's how I look at it. So we need to evolve. I need to, you know, as the games evolve, I want to evolve with it. And that's exciting as well when you look at it that way. So people ask, oh, you know, I got asked a question not long ago about where do you think you are at where it comes to, you know, well, not, they weren't talking about peak as in from what you know, as in skill wise and all that type of stuff. I'm like, and there's like, do you believe, you know, from 0 to 100? I go, well, that 100 is never going to stop.
The goalpost changes.
That's it. That's
the game evolves.
It.
Mm. Yeah. It's exciting. Yeah. Cause we get to evolve with it. Like, and that's where I said, what I know now won't be enough in a month's time.
Mm. Man, so true.
And you know what I mean? That works, I guess that works with everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's not just a fighter's mentality and it's only going to work for, it's going to work
that's
with all sports.
That's just a winner's attitude.
Yeah. Yes, winner's attitude, but business, mm-hmm. anyone, you could take that and you know mm-hmm. what I mean? It goes anywhere, like, and it's just so true.
Yep.
So that's why the information's there and we're lucky enough to be able to reach out and do that with podcasts and things like this. And, you know, it's pretty incredible. But again, it's just all them one percenters, man, it makes a big difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then hard work, that's a whole different beast right there.
Yeah.
How do you consume that content? The content to get yourself better for a fight. I obviously know the coaches mm-hmm. say this, but your fight IQ is right up there with some of the best, obviously, with your game plans and strategies without giving anything away.
Yep.
Do you study the stuff? Do you, Joe comes to you with, this is the game plan, this is how we're going to execute, and you just literally download all that and just repeat and rinse and just keep doing, going after it, inspiring, and then just keep tactically building on your skill set from there?
Yeah, man. Well, it's the beauty again, like with the one percenters, and we're talking about that. It's like you got to trust these people that are giving you that information too.
Yep.
So, like, I can go out there and you know, but luckily enough, we've got a team around us that, oh, yeah, we want to work this. I trust in what they're telling me. Obviously, I'm still working things that I do very well. And the things that are always going to be, you know, you always want to have a really good base and things like that. But again, the game plan goes so far, but anything can change in the fight. So you need to be ready for everything. But, you know, it's just, you know, they come to me and I just trust what they're going to tell me. Even while I was fighting, like even Max say, like, you know, people ask, hey, did you know you were in front? Or I go, I had to ask my cornerman, how are we going? And I trust them. So they're telling me, you're doing good. Keep doing it. Even though I was like, oh, is this more close than I think? You know, I don't know. And so you just got to have trust in your nutritionists mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever, even your physios when it comes to injuries and things like that, just you know, trusting them. Like sometimes, again, when I was struggling with my back, I was so worried about using my back and doing things and it was really affecting my career at the time. But then I had the right information. I had them telling me, go, no, you're sweet, do this. All right, a professional's telling me I'm sweet. All right, I'm sweet. Mm-hmm. And never been more thankful about it, you know what I mean? Absolute game changer. So that just goes, you just got to have trust in your team.
I think there's something though, like, I mean, you could blindly trust people, right? Yep. But I think that there's a thing that you obviously have as a person mm-hmm. where like one of your boys just says like, dude, you're being a fucking idiot. You know, like, and if you can be that guy that can then listen and be like, all right, man, fair enough. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the only way to where you get to the stage where you're in the championship fight with Max Holloway. And if you were down, you know, your coaches could say like, nah, man, like you got to, you know what I mean? You are down. You've got to put it in. Mm-hmm. And it's like being a coachable person in yourself, like that's the only, that allows that trust to be built because like, how many athletes have yes men around them?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they're a yes man for their own reasons, but then a lot of times they're a yes man because the athlete don't want to hear that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people that fall from the top of the sport that can't hear it. So it's like, yeah, you're trusting those people, but you've obviously done something on your end to like give those people the license to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a really good point. And it's, yeah, that's true. 100%. So that's again, that's pretty good. Like you touching on that, but that's exactly how I feel. It is like we've them. So they are honest. Like they are completely honest. They'll tell me if like you looked shit. Like you know what I mean. So
you have to have that. Yeah, but you can't grow past like not having that truth.
Yeah, and then I having trust in your team and obviously being a good team and molding together, but then you go back to like we're talking about fight IQ and things like that. It's I'm a type of person that I will I might not be the cleverest with some things, but when it comes to fighting or even you know they talk about street smarts and all this, like I'm pretty good at figuring out things. Yeah, mm-hmm. I can problem solver. I can do that. Put me in a bad position, I'm gonna find my way out of there. You know, someone's going to show me, you know, they're going to tell me what to do. That might not work, but, you know, you've got to get to here, but it's easier said than done. Yeah. So I'm going to work out how I can at least get to that position to get me so I can do what he done or what he told me to do or whatever it is. So when you're constantly doing that, and again, adapting, that's my favorite word when it comes to this sort of stuff. But, you know, it's just something that even, it's funny, we've been talking about it. Again, some people are just different as well, and maybe this just reminded me because even at the gym, when I'm demonstrating techniques, the visualization you can see me doing, the boys are laughing about it, like, but like it's good, like they understand how cool it is. Like I'm picturing this person's stopping me.
Yeah.
I'm doing the face expressions, and I'm like, mate, I'm telling you, I'm going right into it. Like you know what I mean? I go into detail.
Yeah.
I'm here, and then like you know, I'm showing them that I'm struggling to get my knee. I finally get there. Elbow, I'm battling this arm to get my elbow in. Like, and you see me like squirming my way out, like just pretending that someone's holding me down, and I'm finding my way. And like you know, and it's funny like how we're laughing about that, but they're saying like obviously that works. Obviously that's real visualization right there.
And so that's like passion though too.
Yeah, it is.
Like you fully feel.
Yeah, so there's just little things like that. So I'm a type of person that you know you show me something. Again, I am easily taught. But again, I got the brains when it comes to this sort of stuff where I can figure things out. And you show me one thing and I'll use that in 20 different ways.
Yeah, that's
you know what I mean? You show me a triangle and I was like, obviously, now that you showed me how that triangle, the mechanics of that, now I know how to get out. Mm. You told me how to do this. You want to do this. All right, well, I'm going to stop them from doing this when I'm defending a triangle. Yeah, like so it goes both ways. So every time I get shown something, there's concepts and there's movements, mechanics and everything like that. And I guess that's something that I really, really notice and I really take in, like the mechanics of how things work and I can, you know, really use that in so many different ways. Mm. You know what I mean? Again, like when war work, you know, a lot of stuff, that's not as much information to war work, but I mean, just from me being in the position so many times and, you know, it's a, you know, again, like I'm, that's just one of my favorite positions. Like people talk about, you know, like say with the Khabib fight, you know, people are like, oh, you know, how are you going to get up? Trust me, I'm going to get up. You know what I mean? Like I'll get up and like, you know, it's just, there's no real, I ain't just going to do a sweep or something. There's just, you know, being in that position and figuring things out for so long. You know what I mean? Like it's just, I'm one man, hard man to hold down. Mm. And I understand how to get up and like, you know, there's more than just standing up. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you give me a little bit, I'll do 20 different movements just so I can be an inch further this way. That'll help me get to this inch. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, it's just, again, hard work and just, you know, understanding the game and the concepts of mechanics of everything and obviously having a good team around you. That I'm just trying to say that the success is so much more than just me, obviously, knowing the fight game, having a great team around me. Having a, you know, just everything, all about it. My motivation, even my family's supportive wife, everything, man, it all comes in. It's much bigger than me.
Mm. Have you been with Joe from the start of your MMA career?
Day one in the gym. First day in an MMA gym was Joe's gym.
See, I respect the shit out of that.
You gotta respect that.
That's fuck. Man, that loyalty just makes me so happy. The fact that we have a champion here from Australia and he has been with his coach from day one. Mm. I find that so rare.
Yeah. It is rare. And the thing is, man, I'll be honest with you. Do you know how many people have said to me, people that are like, you know, they're at the gym, they're like friends, you know, obviously, but they're like, you know, well, sometimes pull you aside and be like, man, you need to go to America and you know, and say stuff like this. And they're not knocking, they're not being disrespectful, they're not trying to.
But that's the path that's been created before.
Well, yes, that's what they think, that's what they believe. You know, the grass is always green on the other side, So, and I'm
this
like,
this is what he's doing, this is what he's doing.
Exactly. But don't get me wrong, you know, there is information that you can get a hold of and all that, but that's one good thing about Joe as well. Like, being a good coach is knowing that I don't know everything.
Yeah.
I'm happy for him to go to City Kickboxing.
Yeah.
I'm happy for him to go to Thailand and learn wrestling or whatever it is, you know, at Tiger Muay Thai. So you learn as much, and he knows I'm going to come back.
Yeah, man. Mm.
So like, we go there, I go with him half the time and we learn and we evolve together. You know what I mean? So it's
that's someone with zero insecurities.
Yeah.
He knows, and he's got your best interests at heart.
Exactly, obviously. Right. And at the end of the day, it's for his best interest as well. Because again, if you can understand that, I don't know everything, but you know what I mean? So that means you're going to be eager and you're going to be keen to get more information that can help you teach your students or teach yourself.
How did you guys meet? Did you just
at the gym?
You just walked into the gym?
I walked into the gym.
Intro gee, bro.
Yeah, I walked into the gym. I even got a little story. This is walking into the gym. So I could have turned around and maybe I wouldn't have even met Joe.
Yeah.
So I went in, I walk in. I'm like, I need, you know, as you know, I used to be heavy when I played rugby league.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be like, oh, I won't let myself completely go pre-season. I'm going to keep fit. I'm going to go to MMA gym because I've always loved martial arts. So I rock up and there's about to walk into the front door of the gym. First time I've ever been there. And this guy walks out that used to go to my school, is older than me. And man, I actually know, like, I don't know him, but I'm certain because he's into the fight. You know, he probably listens to my podcast when I tell this story. Like, honestly, I've said this a few times. I'm like, sorry, mate, but you know, I got to tell this story. But you know, and I walk in, and then he literally, like, again, it frustrates me even, like, who says that type of stuff. But anyway, so I walk in, and like, as I'm about to walk in, he sits there and he goes, "What are you doing here? You'll get smashed." And like, you know, was the first thing. I haven't even walked in the door yet. First thing at Joe's gym, you know, if Joe heard that, mate, Joe would have fixed him up on the spot.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was like, oh, I just sort of laughed it off and didn't really care. And I went in and got the application and all that anyway. But you know what I mean? Imagine if I turned around idiot would just have, well, why would you even say that? I'm a nice guy. There's no reason for you to say that to me. And then, like, you know, imagine what he's thinking now. You said that to the UFC world champ, like, you know what I mean? Be careful what you say, you know what I mean? Like, far out. But again, like, if the wrong person even heard that, like, you know, that's a, you know, again, like, I always talk about people forget what, you know, what gyms are all about, respect and, you know, discipline and all this type of stuff. And, you know, a lot of people miss that, you know, with everything that happens. But that's what it's all about. And I guarantee you, if Joe heard that, he wouldn't have let that guy back in the gym.
Mm.
He goes, "You do not do that. Not only you're probably going to lose my customers. Like, I don't want that shit here." Mm. You know
how
what I mean?
Many years ago would that have been?
That was 9 years ago.
9 years ago,
man. It says so much for Joe. For you know, we all know how much time we spend in our gyms, and you know, it molds us as who we are as people. And for Alex to be who he is today and the type of champ he is, still respectful, so much humility, it shows what a person Joe is. Mm. Because Joe has molded Alex to a certain degree and imparted so much of his wisdom and all these sorts of things. So like, a lot of what Alex is today has obviously come from Joe. So that's why it's so good to hear Joe getting some props and things like that.
Man. Now, Joey Lopez, man. Master Splinter. Right.
Man, you said 9 years and... Mm-hmm. A lot of people may think that's a long time, but that is such a condensed window. That's 9 years when you walked in the gym. So from, I don't know when you got into the UFC, but you've had your foot on the pedal.
2017,
Ah, right. You've had your foot on the pedal to go from that to a UFC champ. It's not a long period of time, man. Like, well, that's moving.
Well, exactly right. So that's why a lot of, you look at that and then you sit there, man, it's like it's crazy how quickly I've done it. But that's
there's
only
so
like
much
you
room
said.
To grow. Yeah. Like, isn't that scary too? That you're the champ in nine years and it's like 9 years of that kind of training. It's like, give yourself another five. Let's see what we could do. That's a fucking scary guy in 5 years.
And look, could everyone do that? Maybe not. You know, are people, bred different a little bit? I think I've always been a little bit different to people as well. Like, whether, you know, when it comes to strength and things, I've always been a lot stronger than people. Like, even when I wrestled, like, you know, when I was younger, I was always heavy set, right? So I'll verse people 2-3 years older than me. And back then when you're 12 years old, that's a big deal.
That's a big deal. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're versing someone 2 years older than me, that's a big deal.
Yes.
And I'll kick these guys' asses, you know what I mean? Like, it's normal. I remember even walking the streets and, like, not walking the streets, sorry, walking at, like, it was a wrestling presentation in Sydney. So it was all different wrestling schools. And, oh, there's that kid that gets all the older kids, you know what I mean? So I was, like, even, like, sort of known there. And then playing football, we got to, you know, people have game plans to hold me down, and you know what I mean? So, or, you know, every time, you know, I don't talk about myself because I'm not like that.
It's but your podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 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 you know what I mean? Champ, I'll say what I want. You know what I mean? But, you know, okay, even my teammates, I've always, you know, when people are talking about me, there's always, like, they just talk about that, yeah, the hard work, and just, mate, it just doesn't stop. Like, even when I play football, I'll do free hit ups in the set of, yeah, six and things like that. You know, you talk to my mates, I'll be like, I'll be there. I'm the type of guy that we're on our goal line, I'm like, give me the ball. Like, you know, I'm, yeah, getting us out, yeah, of here. You know what I mean? Like, and I'll go and I'll get back, someone else will run. I'm like, give me the ball again. I'm going again. Like, I've literally done like three hit ups in the set of six, like, countless times, yeah, in every match. Like, you know what I mean? So, and then people are like, I've just always been like that. Yeah. But you know, it's just, we've everything I did, like arm wrestling as well. And whatever, you know what I mean? I've always been that little bit different, always stronger than everyone's, yeah, like, and then fitness, and you know, people's like, man, he just never stopped. You know what I mean? And then training, even when I first started training, man, this kid's like, you know what I mean? So I've always been,
yeah,
what someone, games, no, are you
people
playing,
could
though?
Notice that I was, you know, so much stronger than most other people.
Yeah.
Look at the gas tank on him, you know, yeah, just things like that, you know.
But guys like you, being like, obviously, there's guys like you in, like, in every gym, I feel like, and they're like, got that. Well, there's a guy that I know that I used to mountain bike with, and he's a parts rep for Honda. Dude, like, dude's nobody, doesn't do anything professionally. He's like a fucking Navy SEAL, man, like, on the mountain bike. He just will outwork everybody. He's got, and there's no reason for it. He's got no business doing it. He doesn't have to do it. But there's something in his head, yeah, and there's a game that he's playing with himself that I don't even know exists. Mm-hmm. And I've got my tongue in the chain, and I want to go home already. And he's just like, he's just desperate to get into this zone where other people don't want to go. And to me, like, when I hear guys like you talk, I'm like, what the fuck are you playing? Like, what game is it in the head that I don't play?
You're relating that to a physical scenario, whereas we'd say that to you when I looked at Instagram the other day, and at 5 a.m. you're already in your podcast studio and you're doing work. So it's just like you're channeling the same tenacity into your thing.
Mm.
These guys are doing it from in athletic pursuits.
Yeah,
I think celery, man, you know both ways, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah, well, that's true.
Well, man, I was actually going to say, because I've wrestled or rolled with you, I would find it so hard to imagine you not making it in footy. Like someone with your tenacity, because to be honest, this is going to sound bad, and I'm coming from a rugby league player, there isn't half as much skill in rugby league as there is in MMA. Like you're not just thinking about that much. You're thinking, get off the ground, run as hard as you can into another body, try and run over the top of him.
Don't drop the footy.
Don't drop the footy. Get up, play the ball quickly, or on the opposite side, that guy's got the ball, I need to fucking bury him. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of all the things that are really running through your head for 80 minutes and repeating that over and over again. And knowing Volko, it's all, and footy has a lot of luck to it. Some is the bounce of the ball, some of it's the coaching, some of it's like you just got picked in the right rep team and you had the better players around you.
Yeah, the morale of the guy.
Yeah, you were just born into an era where you just had the best team and the guy inside and outside of you were guns that made you look great, so you can go to the next level quite easily. Where I just in my head, because I knew you were playing footy, just always thought, man, he must have just had unlucky breaks not to have made it into the NRL, although you're clearly doing something way better now. But if you were pursuing an NRL career, it had to have done something with the bounce of the ball not going your way, just because I know your mindset and physicality.
Or being young and silly, yeah, as well. You know what I mean? So that was I could have obviously you're going into, because I was in rep sides at a young age, so Harold Matts and all that's where it starts. You know, you go there, you're there, people know you, and you know what I mean? And you just obviously continue going from there. And then, like, you're already in people's eyes, and you know, they're already seen you before, and they got their eye on you. So I was in, like, rep sides, but I remember the type of person I am as well, where I couldn't get lifts and I had to scab lifts off people that I knew, and I couldn't do it. Like, I felt bad. I felt like I was a burden to them.
Mm.
So, like, that pulled me away from going to the trainer, not really thinking of it, what it could do. So I didn't – I stopped, like, going. I remember, like it seems so silly now.
That's crazy now, yeah, to think that,
yeah, so I was, like, sitting there, and I, like, because I had Billy Trabassi's name, and his parents used to take us. He had to come and then pick me up and then take me there and – you know, and then I was just like, because my parents were working at the time that I had to train. So I was like, I couldn't do it anymore. And I didn't want to, I stopped asking, and then I just didn't go. And then I decided to go back. This is a pretty funny story now. I went maybe like a month later. I decided to try and just go back. And they're like, mate, that doesn't work like that. And they're like, just move. I was like, oh, yeah, sorry. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's it. You know, that's it. Probably how simple it is.
Yeah.
You know, I never got in that, like, the Dragons ever again after that. You know, yeah. I mean, I don't even think I tried after that. Because I was embarrassed.
That was just it.
So I made like a rep side. You know, yeah. So that was at a young age too. Yeah. And again, like, even I made the side, and like, I had a few eyes on me there. And then I was just like, oh, and it's like, oh, all these kids. Not committed. You know what I mean? And then, like, they probably look at me like, this kid's not committed, he's not going to go anywhere. But then to look at me now and be like, I believe, I'm like, man, like, was I not committed then? Like, what happened then? Like, did me just being too nice and not want to be a burden for someone really stop me doing that? Like, I don't know. But so, yeah, like you said, maybe it was just because I was meant to be a UFC champ. Yeah, maybe that's what it is, you know?
I don't know. Sure, man.
Did your like, philosophy, because, like, when we started, what you're talking about is like stoicism, which is like old school Greek philosophy. Like, don't let the highs get too high. Don't get the lows too low. It's like, is that a thing that you've just like, it's like this slow ramp up for you where it's like, you've just got more on top of this mindset. Cause it's obviously not like you're going back and reading all that shit to like figure it out. It's like, you're kind of crafting this, like your own psychology that's like custom built for you. And it's like, the apex of that now is the UFC champ. Like, do you think that that's probably an element too, where it's like, it's just slowly over time, just you got more and more on top of your own mind, and you got around all of these little things like not asking for a lift, not walking out of the gym when the guy gives you shit. It's like they're these little sort of things where it's like this custom built philosophy that you're creating that now leads to success.
Yeah, 100%. And you could, does that come down to like life experiences and that?
Yeah,
sure,
just accumulation.
You know? And it was funny when you talked about that bike rider and like, and you were saying that guy was riding the bike and the way he was. And man, like, again, experience. So when I was saying, like, when I'm younger and I'm put in these positions and I'm going to figure out, like, or like, again, like when I was talking about the diet and nutrition and not eating enough, but being able to do it. And then, so you can mentally get yourself through that as like, then you know what I mean? Like, it, you, so if, imagine, say, he was riding a bike and then he had this busted ass bike that he grew up with that that was like 20 times harder to ride than any other bike because it just wouldn't work properly. And like, that's what he's used to. Yeah. That's what he's adapted to, this terrible bike that he probably, you know, would be faster walking. You know what I mean? But like, that's what he's used to, right? And then you give him these other bikes. He's like, oh, this is a walk in the park. You know what I mean? Through life experiences and, you know what I mean? And being, it, you know, maybe because I feel like I've always did that. Like, you know, no matter how tough things were, I just was always going to just push myself through it and, you know, whatever. And then as you're just doing that, it made me who I am, right? Mm. That's what I said. Like, that's just who I am now. Mm. I don't know any different. I'm just a hard worker. I'm just going to figure my way out of this and I'm just going to make it happen. But I think it's through, like, you know, being young and me just trying to work things out and then, you know, oh, this is getting hard. Oh, no, you'll be right. You know, me just... Yeah, like you said, like just building this in myself, you know, like what was the word you used?
It's just like stoicism, a custom philosophy. You know?
I like that much. Yeah. I use that, but you know, like you know what I mean. I think 100%.
Well, you can sort of see people that like they've got all these they got like ingredients, but it's like ingredients themselves don't make a sick cake. Like you can kind of have everything there, but it's like you take someone to like put it together at the right time, goes in at the right time, it comes out at the right time. And it's like, just from just listening to you, not knowing too much of your story, it's almost like you've just kind of logged all this information and it's like you've custom built this program like mentally to now let you do kind of like whatever you want, really.
Yeah, it's literally the perfect segue talking about, you know, his philosophies and now becoming a champion and all of his experiences and his mindset leading up to that moment. And now he's obviously bringing out, well not obviously, but he's bringing out a children's book.
Yeah.
Which is just dope. Tell us about that.
Well, like, yeah, that's a, again, we talk about, I talk about, yeah, me not wanting to be a burden to someone, you know what I mean? And I always get asked this question, like even through UFC, people would say to me, oh, you need to talk shit. You need to do this. It's just not who I am, right? I don't care. It's not who I am. I'm not going to be fake. You know what I mean? I got to be the champ. That's something that I'm proud of as well. I got to be the champ being who I am.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm proud of and something I'll always be proud of. But then we talk about, you know, you talk about your brand, right? And this is right up my alley. You know, I believe, I take pride in being that a respectful man, you know, family man. And, you know, that's what I'm all about. You know what I mean? And I ain't no saint. I ain't saying I'm perfect. But I mean, at the same time, these are things I believe in. I believe our sport's full of guys like us as well. Mm. Like, you know, we're portrayed as a lot of times thugs. You know what I mean? That's one thing that I want to change because we ain't. And some of the nicest people I've ever met is through this sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly do believe that. And again, what it comes down to, if you know martial arts, you know it's all about discipline, hard work, and respect. And like, as I said, you know, and I'm all about that. And people don't get to see that. So this opportunity came, and not only do I believe like that's right up my alley and something I can be proud of, though I can give back, and you know, I think it's how good is this, but you know, I think you know, we deserve it as well. I think the sport deserves it, and you know, we're pretty much done, and I think it's good for the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
Man, and great. The UFC actually you know, you're probably the first to hear this. They're actually going to be helping us with it, so they're actually awesome. They're jumping on board with it, and again, it's something that I take a lot of pride in because, again, I'm not saying I'm the only nice UFC. Some of the nicest people I've ever met is in this sport. And, you know, we're portrayed as thugs, as people that chuck dollies through buses or whatever it is. And, like, people forget where it comes from because, obviously, that's exciting and that's what these, you know, that's the blueprint that everyone needs to do. And I ain't all about that. Yeah, and everyone knows me, knows I ain't about that. So I was like, people are like, oh, yeah, but what's your brand? I'm like, this is my brand. That's my brand. That's who I am. And I'm proud of it. And I got to do this my way, not listen to yous and make me be something I'm not. I got to do, I get to be me through the whole process. And now I'm going to use who I am as my brand.
Yeah, man.
You know
that's
what I mean?
That's who we want to be associated with.
And I remember the first time that
that's G shit.
Yeah.
When we first got talked about Volks, about the opportunity to sponsor Volks, and where I'm a dad of two, and I remember sitting there, and like you said, there's a lot of shit talkers that are out there. They get a lot of media, and they will continue to get media. It is what it is, and I'm not about that, obviously, either. And I remember seeing one of your social media posts that made me go, we've got to sponsor that guy. And it was your daughter that was watching a UFC event, and you had a caption that just said, never quit because you never know who's watching.
That's awesome.
And it was your daughter. And it would have been around the time she probably just started walking, and she was like sitting casually, and then all of a sudden saw you on TV and just like popped up and just like started running at the TV and like high-fiving. And I was like, man, that's the shit that motivates me. We got a sponsor. That's what we want to get behind, like as a brand. As humans in general, we should be getting behind more people that are doing that type of stuff, because that's what you want to set the example for your kids and your kids' kids. And that's the type of stuff that I want to be associated with. And I know all you boys are the same, that want to be associated with, where people are doing the right things, being fathers, being husbands, being good members of their community, providing back and setting that example, doing kids' books that show. I'm so stoked to get the book when it finally does come out, because it would be the first book that I read to my kids. But show, man, I was working hard. I was a concreter. I was playing footy. I thought that maybe I should quit, but I didn't quit. Then I kept doing this, and now I'm here, and this is what can be for you as well. Like, that's the type of stuff that it's great that UFC are getting on board with it, because they do promote a lot of shit talking, but you can tell that they're wanting to promote more good guys like yourself and others that are doing that great stuff as well, which is, it's just sick.
It's the timing of it is actually pretty good, because no one's done it. And, you know, again, we're always trying to, when you're talking about promoting, like the, man, it just seems like we're always trying to impress, or like, you know, the direction of every marketing or promotion. It just, oh yeah, let's just impress these people that want to see. But there's so many people like yourself that that love a respectful, honourable, just, you know, guy that can kick ass. You know, at the end of the day, like, we go, all right, let's. Well, one thing that people forget is like, oh, I'm going to do all this, but I lose. All these people that I'm trying to impress forget about me like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the truth. I'm like, Conor McGregor's where he's at, luckily, because he was winning.
Yeah.
If he was losing, he wouldn't be nowhere near the man he is today. Yeah, I don't care how good his mouth is. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. It fast-tracked him. I believe that. And I got nothing. Like, I've got respect for people that do that. If they choose that, I'm not hating on them.
You
kind
of need
me.
All of it in the UFC. 100%. Like, you need the good guys, you need the bad guys. Like, if everyone was you, it's like, oh, cool. The UFC is full of these, like, real nice dudes.
Yeah, and it's like, you need it, 100%.
It doesn't have the same X factor, like, that diversity. But I think, like, what you're doing that's cool and it is that you're just being yourself. So Conor's being himself. Like, he ain't faking it. That's who he is. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's cool that that dude exists. And it's also cool that a dude like you exists. And we get to see, like, kind of all those people. I think the problem is when people like you don't have the balls to be themselves because they want to sort of copy what other people are doing, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, but I mean, we get told, like, I guarantee you, like, these fighters, you get told from all different directions. That's like sort of the direction you're sort of trying to be forced to go.
Yeah.
If you get what I'm trying to say, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, you got to do this. And I get it. I understand it. But at the end of the day, like, again, we need them all anyway.
Mm.
And at the same time, you know, you don't want, people are going to get over the same bullshit as well. Like, you see something like, I sometimes like, oh, man, like, you know, Colby Covington, and then he starts on this, you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, oh man, like, I'm over it now. Like, you know, I start to cringe when I hear, look, don't get me wrong, Conor McGregor was good at it. And there's so many guys that are good at it. And like, I love it and it is entertaining. I want to watch it. So I get that.
Yeah.
But don't tell me I have to do that.
Yeah.
Mm. Don't act like I have to do that. Like, there's no, I don't.
Has it ever
I understand and I respect him for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even if he wasn't a piece of shit, say, like, you know, Conor McGregor, say he's just doing it, goes, I don't care what you think about me. Oh, my family know who I am. Mm-hmm. And say he was putting on an act for everyone, make money. The people that I care about know who I am. So I don't care what you think about me. I'll be like, oh, good on you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Good on you. But then you start seeing him, you know, hitting old men and doing all this sort of stuff. And you're like, oh, maybe he's a bit of a piece of shit.
I think you'd grow into that though, wouldn't you? Like, you're trying to create a persona and live into that persona for so long, and it's becomes your career, and you see yourself on TV and you're getting all this attention, and then you become that person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, like professional actors and actresses or actors, how they'll sort of prepare for a character. And then they can't get back to their real self. Yeah. Like, they forget who they are as a person.
For sure, man.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, that is definitely true.
What I was going to ask is, do you think it's hurt any opportunities for you?
Just
not obviously sort of...
Like, not wanting to talk shit.
Well, look, I'll guarantee, like, you know, I'll tell you, it's probably a slower process.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it is a slower process. I guarantee if I was shit talking and then winning and doing that stuff, I'll probably... Could I have got that title shot quicker? You know what I mean? Like, you know, could I be on the main event instead of co-main event? Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. But at the end of the day, here's a good example. Max Holloway is a good, now everyone's like, oh, he's marketable, He was in a position where he was on a how many fight win streak was he on?
Long, man.
He was on a huge winning streak before they even gave him an opportunity.
So long.
They were trying to say he wasn't marketable and all this type of stuff.
You're so right.
At the end of the day, why is he marketable? Because he's a winner.
Yeah.
Because he goes out there, kicks ass, and because you got no choice but to see him in front of you. You're gonna like him. You know what I mean? He's a cool dude. You know, put a camera in someone's face, people are gonna like him.
Mm-hmm.
But put the camera in the champ's face.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just have to try and, you know, oh yeah, chuck all my chips in this one basket.
Yeah.
They lose, oh shit. You know what I mean? Mate, spread the load a little bit. Chuck a camera in front of me for a while. You know what I mean? People, again, like, people, they think that, oh, they only want to see this. They only want to see that. How many of the, like, people I talk to, I'm on podcasts, and people that want to be inspired by something, people want to learn something, people want to, you know, they want to listen to this and take something out of it. You know what I mean? And that's what a lot of people, so... right there. Like, I make put a camera in front of me and watch one of my training sessions, and I guarantee you I can inspire someone. But just someone seeing that hard work, man. You get what I mean? Like, it's just
it ain't a secret. Like, it's right there if you're looking for it.
Man. It's true. Just anyway. Like, I sort of went a bit off track there, but I'm just trying to say, there's so many other ways that people, you know, again, like you said, there's so many people that love a respectful champion that will do that. But again, we do want to see people talk shit. But I mean, if that's who you are, that's who you are.
I think that what
don't
people,
force me to be someone not.
I think what people want to see, like, ultimately, is like, you can see fakes. Yeah. You can see fakes everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, and we are a very good judge of, like, oh, that dude's like kind of not being himself. Mm-hmm. Colby Covington. I guarantee that if I went and had a coffee with Colby Covington, that motherfucker ain't walking downstairs with a MAGA hat on, two belts and four chicks that he's paid, because it's not him.
Yep.
And it's like, everyone can see it. It's super obvious. And it's like, you can see that on so many different levels. And I think that, like, there's nothing flashy, special about you, your message. Like, you ain't got shit talking that you're doing. There's no, like, no narrative you're trying to push, but it's just like, oh, that's just a genuine dude. And with Conor, you can see, like, I guarantee if he wasn't Conor McGregor, the superstar, and you were training jiu-jitsu with him, he would be talking shit.
Yeah.
Like, constantly talking. Yeah. That's who that dude would be. And if you went out to a bar after, he'd be talking shit at somebody, and then he probably would get it. Like, that's just who that dude is. So it's believable. Mm-hmm. And it's like what you were saying is, I think people, they want to play this character because they're like, this will fast track me in the UFC. This will do this. This will do that. But you can see through it. And the thing is like, you want to have a long career. And it's like, to make that stuff sustainable, it's so much easier to be yourself over a long period of time than to be someone fake over like a condensed period of time.
Yeah, 100%.
And it doesn't help Colby Covington when he even says that he's doing this and, you know, and then started like trying to get sympathy for people, you know, him needing security guards because he's putting on this persona. I was like,
you asked for it,
mate,
bro.
Yeah, mate, that's what you wanted. You own that shit. Like, if you're going to go that route, don't sit there and try and get sympathy from me. Like, that ain't going to happen. But it's just, it's funny. It is. It's weird. Like, it's just, I get, like, we understand it. It's entertainment and all that. I totally get that. Yeah. I really do. But again, at the end of the day, people, mate, look, I guarantee you Americans would love just an Aussie, mate. Yeah, Aussies, they love Aussies over there. Get a nice regular Aussie bloke. He's like, how you going, mate? Yeah. I'm good. Yeah. How you going? Chuck a shrimp on the barbie. Let's go. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, at the end of the day,
well,
you
look
know,
at the shoey. How much the shoey blows up. Right. You know, like, you get tired doing a shoey and it's just like everyone just loses their shit.
Yeah, exactly, man. It's just that's what I mean. But again, you know, a lot of people see this is the way direction that, oh, Mayweather did it, Conor McGregor did it. Mm-hmm. This is the only way. Mm. So every time you do that, all right, let's everyone, the media and then the UFC and everyone, let's just promote that and market that.
Yeah.
And everyone's just going that direction. So, like, everyone's trying to get sucked into this direction. I was like, well, that ain't
who's
me.
It's going to
be slower
champ
for me. It's going to be slower for me, but I guarantee you I'm going to keep winning. I'm telling you, I'm going to keep winning.
Exactly, man.
And you're just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger as it happens. And, like, that's at the end of the day, people want to know winners and they want to know why you're a winner. Yeah. And that's what motivates it. That's what inspires them. You know what I mean? So, you know, it is what it is. That's just how it is today.
We talked about it just before with The Last Dance. The thing that I loved most about that doco was the fact that they portray Jordan however you want to portray him and everything like that. He has came across as, I win at all costs, I do everything. He was the biggest athlete, still one of the biggest athletes worldwide. But how entertaining was he? Like, he wasn't actually going out there being a loose maniac in bars, punching people. Mm. Like, he was competitive. Like, they showed how competitive he was against his opponents and saying, you're not going to beat me. And he would play these games in his head. Like, that guy talked shit about me. They didn't. He would just say that so he could fire himself up. But people just respect winning.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, no matter which way you do it, however you cut and dice it, you cannot not respect someone that just goes out and puts it on the line and keeps winning, keeps grinding, keeps hustling. That's entertainment. Yeah. Like, in its purest form, is someone that just goes out there and keeps putting it on the line, keeps showing up, keeps getting the results, keeps escalating themselves. George St. Pierre didn't talk shit.
Mm-hmm.
probably one of the most loved athletes in the sport.
One of the biggest athletes.
Probably,
as well.
Yeah. Every bit of it.
Goats and the biggest names. Yeah. Obviously, Conor McGregor now.
He was like the first superstar.
Yeah, well, there's superstars that we all know. We're Anderson Silvers.
Yep.
Your George St. Pierre's, your Aldos.
Yep.
These guys were nothing but respectful.
Yeah.
These guys were, why were they such big stars? Because they could kick ass and they were the best in the world. They're winners, like you said. Yeah. People remember that. In a lot of sports, that's all that matters. Mm. You know, that's what
they
promote.
Sort of what you
they
do
promote
it for.
How good you are.
Exactly.
That should
be that.
That's the marketing right there. How good is this kid?
Exactly.
This kid's the best. No one's taking him out. He's the best. And then people are like, yeah, he's the best. You know, and they love it. Ours, you know, yeah, a little bit different.
It's
you know,
true, man.
It's crazy. But, you know, like you, because I even mentioned that while I'm talking about it, as in, look, he's not doing nothing. He's not out there talking. And look at how much of a star he was. Why? Because he's the best.
Yeah.
That's what people remember. And again, I ain't salty about it. I understand it.
Yeah.
All right. I get that. I understand it. Maybe it is going to be a longer process, but I ain't planning on losing anytime soon. No. I know I'm going to get there. Yeah. Hard work's going to get me there.
Yeah.
People are going to, I'm going to be in everyone's face. Even if Dana don't want it, I'm going to be in your face. I'm going to keep winning. Just accept it.
Well, the good thing
jump on board. Jump on board. It's going to happen. Let's
the good thing
it.
Is you're not boring as a fighter. The worst thing is when you got a dude that's awesome at winning, but he's fucking boring. You're not boring. So like that's like the ace in the hole. Like if you wanted to be the clean cut dude and the guy that you are and you're boring to watch fight, that's probably not a great recipe. Mm. But when the door closes and you're in there for a championship fight, it's like, I don't give a fuck what he says. This is going to be outrageous. Mm. Like you have to watch this dude fight.
People used to say that George St. Pierre was boring.
Yeah.
They tried
but
to.
But it's hard.
But who said that as well? Though?
Yeah, like the general fans, general public.
Casual fans that want to see blood.
And I get that. We need to obviously cater for everyone anyway. Like obviously we want entertainment. We do want people to sit there and slug it out. But don't tell the best fighters in the world that and expect them to do that. Yeah. They're the best for a reason.
That's what I love going to Japan.
I can stand and flat-footed and bang and then, you know, it's going to be entertainment. But I mean, I ain't going to be the best fighter in the world if I did that.
But it's 50-50 if you're going to, because
exactly
everyone
right.
can get everyone.
Yeah,
can
you
get
will
clipped.
Like it, but you, again, you will like me, I lose, you forget about me.
Yeah. That's
I need to remember that. Like, we need to know that as well.
That's part of our sort of like evolution in martial arts as well. Because you go to somewhere that has a deep history of martial arts and a love for it, like Japan, and we go and watch a fight in Japan, and then someone will pass guard and everyone's like,
yay!
Yeah. And you're like, fuck, man, these guys get it, man.
Yeah.
They know what's going on here. Whereas, you know, when you come to Australia and you're like, the guys are just like, put him in a body bag or something. Like, you're like, oh, fuck.
Kick him in the nuts.
Yeah. You would have.
And the dick is a kick him in the dick or kick him. What do they say? They always say that.
They say something. But the worst thing is also with the structure of the UFC, and we're right in the UFC and everything. So for those that aren't, they may not know that Alex gets paid more to hold the belt. So within his best interest.
Yeah, economics.
Not only as a champion to hold the belt because it's a legacy and he's a competitor. So first and foremost, he wants to win. But secondly, to go on and put out the best fight of the year, which just ends up being a slugfest of just a 50-50, like I punch you, you punch me type of thing, could potentially cost him hundreds of thousands of dollars from his family, just on the aspect of just going, I wanted to please some fans, and the fans are awesome, but he doesn't owe the fans anything. He owes his family something. He owes his gym. He owes those people something. So he has to intelligently to come home with that belt, but let's say what it is, come home with the money. Like he needs to keep winning to keep that, because when he loses, his pay packet goes down significantly outside of losing the belt, which I know obviously money is one thing, but they go hand in hand. Yeah. So you can't say someone did a fight, you found it somewhat boring, but they did what they had to do to win. Mm-hmm. And then you look down on it for some reason. Like that shit, that's when
Woodley's a real good example of that.
Well, that's one thing that when we're talking about it, him just obviously just disengaging, staying out of range, running, like there's a, I can see why some people can get a little bit annoyed at that. So being outsmarting someone is different to wait, and just explode when I can, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
You know what I mean? I can see why people are going to get frustrated with that. I think he could have did a little bit more in some of these fights. I'm not telling you, I'm not expecting him to go and take stupid risks, but I mean, like, yeah, you're a powerful dude and that's where you're most dangerous anyway. Like, you know, just play that game a little bit more better and then, like, it's a more acceptable. But again, like, say with the last fight, my last fight, mate, if I could break down, like, if we're, like, show you videos and explain the chess match that was happening there,
yeah,
the little changes that we were constantly doing, he was doing and I was doing, you know, inches. I'm talking inches. I would counter him, or then he would wait for my counter and go. Then he'd wait for my counter, try and get more out of the way. And then, you know, there were so many times where
Black belt striking.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's just, I got to show you the video so you can even understand it.
Yeah.
And this was happening the whole fight.
Yep.
There was, you know, little things that I'm doing all differently. Like, obviously, yeah, so he can get a read and just outsmart. Like, you know what I mean? People, and if I could explain, like, I explained that, news would love it. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Man. News would be like, wow, you know what I mean?
I'd love to do that, obviously, you know what I mean? Privately. So it's, yeah, it's not being released as in, like, tactics, but just to, yep, hear you go through step by step, move by move, second by second on every single thing that you're doing, because that, yep, shit's fascinating.
And it's fucking, right, working. Like, yeah, you look at Mendez, you look at Aldo, and you look at Holloway, they were all stunned or stopped. They weren't able to get, yep, their game off. Mm. Far, man, that's incredible.
And three very different fighters.
Very, very,
like,
much so.
Almost, yeah, like, won't call them polar opposites, but a fucking stocky wrestler compared to this leg-kicking beast compared, yep, to this guy that's got hands that plays his volume.
And long.
And, yep. So, so different, but all shut down, all neutralized, yep, completely.
I loved the fight. I was there. I watched, yeah, the fight. And I actually slept for most of the, yeah, Vegas got me hard, yeah, the night before. I was in rookie era. I slept half of the fight and then watched it. And it was just so incredible. It really was a special moment. And you could just see how much trouble Max was in. He did switch at one point. I think it was maybe in the third or fourth round. And I was like, ooh, this is interesting when he switched and you had to adjust your game and stuff like that. But, I had you winning the whole time. And I was just,
every round.
Yeah, every round. Yeah. And I was just pumped. And then I came to the after party for literally not even 1 minute. I walked in and out because I was so cooked. Yeah. Absolute rookie era. Hey.
Vegas, mate. Yeah, man. Vegas got me last time I was there. When Joe Rogan podcast. You know about that story?
No. Not about the story. Obviously, listen, man, to the podcast.
Vegas got me. Vegas got me good. So I was in Vegas. I went there for Izzy's fight.
Yeah.
And Vegas got me good. So I went like two back-to-back big nights. And
the house always wins, bro.
Mate.
The house always wins.
And then I end up having Joe Rogan the next day. And like, mate, everything was just a blur. I was like in this weird bubble that I was like, and then maybe I was getting nervous as well. I don't know what it was. Like, maybe I was like, you better be all right by the time you do this Joe Rogan podcast, you know what I mean? Like, or whatever it is. So I was like sort of maybe battling that as well. And it just wouldn't let me, I barely remember it. Honestly. That's why you watch me, I'm like, yeah, far out, hey, fuck. You know, where am I? You know what I mean? I barely remember it. It's funny. I was stressing for days, that, like, you know, what am I going to do if I fucked up? Like, I was thinking, I'll probably, I don't know, look like an absolute idiot, but it was pretty funny. But, you know, at least I know my autopilot can get me through it. But anyway, what was it like
when you were in that Max fight? Because like Mill said, it was just every round was just so controlled and like crazy levels of poise. And like I was just watching at the pub with some mates, and I'm just there going like, this is this dude's biggest moment of his life. Like, hands down, there is literally nothing in his life that has had more attention, more focus. Like, this is it. Can you imagine walking into that arena and being that guy at the first crack at the dance, and you're that dude? Like, did it feel as special as it looked, mate, when you were actually doing it?
Again, it comes back to when we're talking about me keeping myself composed. I need to.
That shit is crazy, though.
I need to
though.
Try and zone that and have this tunnel focus, and you know what I mean? So it's like, it's weird. It's a pressure that I'm, you know, like, just like John and I playing it off, like, you know, not letting them, like, just stay away for now, you know what I mean? Leave me alone, you know what I mean? I'm just in my zone. Like, I'm even there, but I really am. I've nailed it where
it's almost impossible to do that.
And I don't feel the pressure until it's all done. Then I realize, like, oh, wow, you know what I mean, how much I was actually holding on. It's hard to explain. I've got it down to a T where I've got, even like you're saying, that we're about to walk out for my the biggest fight of my life, you know what I mean? And Bisping comes out. I'm about to walk out to the fight. Bisping comes out. And we're having a chat and everything, like with the boys. Like, I'm ready to go. Obviously, I'm ready to go. But I'm like, hey, he was like, oh, shit, I'm going to ruin this guy's mojo. You know what I mean? He sits there, sits back. I'm like, no, you're right. And I could see you wanted to go to the toilet. I go, no, you're right. Go to the toilet. You're sweet. He's like, oh, yeah, sweet, man. I'm like, oh, no, I remember, because I'd done a podcast where I wore pink headphones.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I remember pink headphones. It's in those, they were laughing. Or I just had a laugh. No, you're right, mate. Like, right. I had a little laugh. I'm about to walk out. Like, yeah. I'm standing there ready to walk out. And like, you know, and just even like the security ladies that are there, I was like, do you, like saying to Joe, is like, does he realize he's about to fight for a world fucking title? Like, what's going on here? I'm like, literally, I'm just me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm making myself, you know what I mean? Whether, yeah, I wish I could tell you like, oh, I was nervous, man. But you know, I was.
No, it's more interesting the way that you're saying, like exactly. What you're saying is more interesting.
Yeah. That's what I think.
It's like, almost impossible. Like it is.
Like how, but yeah. I just got it down to a T. And is it because of all these live experiences?
You should try and train people in that.
Yeah.
So many people could learn lessons from the aspect of going that, you know, there's supposed to be pressure. You understand it. You understand what's going on around you, but it's like, I will deal with all that stuff after I finish my job. Yep. Like my job right now is to walk out there, be the best possible fighter, bring that belt home for my family, for my gym. All the rest of it, irrelevant until the job is over. And then I'll let myself feel... Yep. The emotions and everything else that comes with it. But right now, this is like that moment. Like that's like a fucking superhero power.
It's full Jedi shit.
It's weird as well. So I do that and it helps me in my fights. Obviously, it's made me who I am and made me be the composed fighter I am. But then there's a side to it where, you know, people won't really get to see where I win the world title and I'm still just me. I let it all go. I let it all go. Like, you know, so I did let the emotions fly. So straight after, I'm like, oh, I can just let go and then go a bit loose. But then I start walking back to the stage and then it's weird. It's on me again.
Yep.
It's like, you know what I mean? I probably had maybe 5 minutes of me like going, letting it all go. And then I'm like sitting there and I'm like, hold on, there's videos. I mean, I can show you a video on my phone. I'm sitting there. I'm like, far out, man. I got the bloody belt. I was like, wake up, you're the champ. Like, you know, what are you doing? Why are you so fucking normal right now? You know what I mean? Are we allowed to swear?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Fuck. But, you know what I mean? I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, you're the champ. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I go home and that's what I mean. I'm just, it's weird. And then I forget. Like, people are like, oh, I see the belt. Oh, yeah, the belt. Like, I walk down the street. And then people be like, oh, can I get a phone? I'm like, oh, yeah, UFC thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm just, you know what I mean? It's weird. Like, I'm just, you know, it's just, I am literally so good at doing that sometimes it can, like, you know, the highs are hard to reach them highs. Yeah.
Do you do
except
a lot of-
Except it's weird. Like I said, I can let it go as soon as I win the relief. I can let it go. Yeah. There's like maybe a 5 minute window where it, and then it's just like,
do you do a lot of role playing in the gym? Like, so for example, the camp right now.
That's a bit personal.
Are you walking out? Are you walking out there, visualizing everything? You're visualizing getting your hand raised. Do you do a lot of that?
Visualizing hand raising and things like, oh, I do like scenarios and that. I'll put in my head, but I'm more visualize. The action of things that are happening, things that again, and I feel like for me that would be better. Obviously, you want to visualize the end goal, but you know, I think it's more practical to visualize, you know, situations that you're probably going to be in. So, like you might have seen it before. You're getting stuck in a position. You've seen it. You can react. So that's why I'm like, when I say I'm doing drilling I'm seeing this. So while I'm drilling by myself, I'm shadow boxing. I'm like. You know, I'm doing like, you know, I'm picturing like he's out of my range. Ah, I missed that shot. Yeah. So I've like threw something. Oh, I missed that. Oh, yeah. You make me miss. Oh, yeah. Sweet. Boom. I'm going to double it up now. Oh, yeah. Got you. That one's like, yeah. Got you. You know what I mean? So I'm, you know what I mean? So you're sort of doing that. And it's funny. You see some people. I watched Izzy fight his last fight. And that was something that I noticed because I know I do it. And I noticed him doing when he was shadow boxing. And he's even, because a part of his game and visualization, like he's, you know, like people call it showboating, but you know, that's just him. Like, there was times where I see him, he was picturing Romero standing back and not engaging. He's like, no, you can't. Like, you know, he's doing that's all this. He's like,
yeah. Oh, while he was like,
yes, while he's shadowboxing him thing, and he's sitting there and he's like, going there, backed up the guy. He's backed up, pulling. You could tell, like, he's picturing Romero putting his hands behind his back, just doing this. And he's like, come to me, like, you know, doing all this sort of stuff, and like, there, and then picturing him on the wall, on the cage, or just like little things like that. And it was funny because I like, I knew and I could relate to that because I do that.
Yeah.
I don't do it where he does it, where like he can see them sort of moments.
Yeah.
Like, because a bit of the that. Would you call it showboating type stuff? I don't know, like.
But like moments of.
Yeah, like he will even like, do, yeah. So he will like even like make me just like, ah, like, you know, like he's like picturing all that type of stuff. That's a part of his game. Where me, I'll picture him stopping this and then I'm like, you know, then I've went around it and things like that. So it's pretty cool to see, but that's what I visualize more. I visualize more things that's going to happen. You know what I mean? The things that I feel like can happen. I do visualize me winning it and then soaking up that. That does happen. But I mean, I feel like I visualize more of the you know, the action of things that could happen in there. Because again, I've got a job to do. Yeah, that's how I look at it. I've got a job to do, and that's, you know, obviously winning's big. I need to win to bring the. But I mean, I need to do all these things right.
Yeah.
To get that win.
Let's talk about the unique situation that you've got now. This camp, this fight. Everything about it, the whole world, everything is unique. We haven't been in this situation before, really. Mm-hmm. You have only been told about the fight around 6 weeks out of the fight. Is that right?
Yep.
And it's on Fight Island, which is a unique new spot where they've built this event. And you have travel restrictions. You have skin contact restrictions. You can't even spar. Tell us about sort of how weird or unique this opportunity has been and how you've had to adapt to this and how you've...
There you go. There's a word I was waiting for, adapt. That's something that is always going to come into play. We've got to adapt and we've got to be able to adapt. And then open to adapt and be comfortable when things get uncomfortable and just adapt and just go with it type thing. So with this, again, it is unfamiliar sort of territory. Like, you know, I mean, we haven't been here. It's challenging times. But again, you know, I'm in a gym where I usually go City Kickboxing. I obviously always at freestyle, but I usually do a lot of my camp at City Kickboxing. And, you know, you couldn't do the train. I was only, like, you know, I wasn't doing much contact training or anything. I wasn't doing any contact training before the 6 weeks when I found out. But then I was lucky enough to have the team around me to get the exemptions. As Mark Boris helping us with that, like, you know, using his connections to get the exemptions and get the protocols that needed to be done so we could find. Within a couple of days, we had
that's
that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Within a couple of days, yeah, so lucky enough to have Mark Boris help with that and then my team, you know, make it happen. And then lucky enough to have the boys come as well. I've got like the best fighters in Australia all at our gym right now. In cabins in Wingdang, all helping with camp. So I'm lucky enough to have that. But again, you know, it is different. But at the same time, I've got our schedules still going to be the same in a different spot. You know what I mean? It's just different bodies. But I mean, again, like it doesn't matter. Like I'm going to adapt to this situation. I'm going to make it happen. Whatever needs to be done, we're going to get it done. So mate, I'm in good nick too. So I got, you know, even though it's only 6 weeks, a lot of people would sit there and be like, oh, is he underprepared? My body just knows now, man. I'm telling you, my body adapts.
You're someone that's prepared all year round, though, right?
I am, yeah. But obviously these were different, yes. This times are different. But again, like I'm a professional and, I can't do all these other things. But what did I have time to do? I had time to work on strength and conditioning. You know, so I'm more explosive than ever. I'm more powerful than ever because I just got to do shitloads of that. Because, you know, usually when I'm... Yeah, if I can do the contact training, I have to pull back on all that because I need to wrestle, I need to grapple, I need to, you know what I mean? But now I had 5-6 days to, let's just work on everything else. I've got no choice but to. I can sit there and use it as an excuse to not train. It's a good enough excuse. We're not allowed.
A lot of people did that.
And a lot of people did that.
In a lot of different sports.
I'd put a video up, I don't know if you've seen that, and it was like, I want to do at least 2 training sessions while this was all happening. And I was going to be like, man, I haven't done my session yet. And it starts pissing down. And I'm like, man, I wanted to go for a run. And then I thought to myself, I go, I've got a really good excuse. We can't do contact training. I've already done a session this morning. It's raining. There's no point going for a run. So there was all these excuses and good enough excuses not to go for that run. But that's why I had to. Mm-hmm. Because I know everyone else would accept that.
Yeah.
I'll go, for me to separate myself from the contenders, from my future opponents, I'm going to do what they won't do. And I know they're going to use them excuses and be like, oh, I'll sit it, I'll just do it tomorrow. I'm like, I'm going. Bang, chuck the shoes on. I ran in the rain. And then I even just said, I'd done a video. I'm like, you know what? This is, and I explained that. And I said, I go, I know that my opponents aren't doing that. You know, and I'm going to separate myself. I go, it was hard work to be the champ and it's going to be hard work to stay the champ. I'm going to separate myself from the contenders and that's why I'm going to stay on top for a long time. So these, you know what I mean? Just little
things
like that.
That's them games I was talking about, you know, like you play them games in your head and like I've had a thing that I've been thinking about recently, like, because I go through, my natural tendency is to think, not to do. Like I enjoy to think about shit. And then I'm like, you get older and you realize like, no, you kind of need to do the shit you think about. Otherwise, what's the point? Mm-hmm. And I've kind of been thinking about the concept in my head of like, you kind of get paid for everything you do in your life. For every action you get paid, that can be paid in shit or paid in like cash. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I started thinking about that, like, so that example of you going for a run, like to me now, every workout, every email, every invoice, everything I do, I'm like, oh, I'll get paid. And it's like, oh, so if you don't want to do this run, you don't want to get paid. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, if you don't want to get paid, you can't be rich. Mm-hmm. And it's like, not just rich in money, but it's like rich in everything that you're trying to do, whether it's your exercise. So I think it's like, yeah, that's interesting to hear you talk about the games, because I try and create games in my head that work for my head. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I love hearing from dudes like you, where it's like, you fucking know the games. Like you win those games way more than you lose those games.
Yeah, well, and again, that comes from life experiences and doing it all through your whole life, where I do play these games. So now when you talked about the games, I get exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Where there's, I have to have two sessions a day. You get what I mean? Or whatever it is. I have to do these things. I have to sweat. Or like these things that I'm like, nah. Or like, you know what I mean? Like just... I don't know what it is, but I'm constantly doing these little things where, it makes me who I am, right?
I was going to say, there's
it
a level.
It makes me who I am. Yeah. It makes me the hard worker. So if every time there's an excuse not to train and I just accept that, I'm changing who I can, my future self. I'm, you know what I mean? I'm, you know, it's, and I see it happen on a day to day, whether it's my wife and all this, is like, oh yeah, I can't do this because of this. It's like, you're going to be like, but that's sometimes...
That's a person losing the game.
Exactly,
in their head, right.
Well, don't get me wrong. There's going to be times where you can't train. But I'm going to make it the time where I can literally can't train. Yeah. All right, broke my leg. I can't train.
Yeah.
Or, but again, I'll find something else. I'll do an arm fucking workout, yeah. Whatever it is. But I mean, you know, there's times where, shit, I need to go over here and I miss out on this session. All right, I'll accept that. I can accept that because I have no choice. But if I'm... Every time, oh man, I feel a bit shit today. I couldn't be bothered. It's all right. You know, you're going to train tomorrow. It's only one session. Yeah, it's only one session, right? But you're constantly doing that every week. You're doing that a few times and then that adds up. Mm-hmm. And then that builds, you know what I mean? Like you can...
Well, it starts to become a habit.
Well, exactly. Yeah. It's a habit. And then it becomes who you are again. Exactly. So you know what I mean? So, and you, who you are is like, it's not, you know what I mean? Like we're going to... accept these excuses and then just let it get the best of us. You know what I mean? And that's something that I win them games. There's the games we play and I always win them. But I will accept when, you know, like I told you with my coach.
Sometimes you can't play a game.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Well, Joe has to pull me back. Yeah. There's been times where like he can see that I'm...
Overexerting yourself.
I'm out. You know, I was my last week in my last camp and I was like sitting there and I was like, man, like I was doing the session. I was getting through it. Don't get me wrong. I was still doing it pretty good. But how am I going to go in like this? So if I have that afternoon off and then the next day I've got VO2 max, am I going to ruin the rest of my week? Am I going to get sick? That can happen. So luckily I've got the team behind me. It's me. I'm hard worker. I'm going to do it anyway. But I have my team to be like, hey, you're having the night off. I don't know, man. It's only one more session. It's the last week. Don't pull me off from a session now. Yeah. It's the last week. You're gonna make me do less than I did last week. But, you know, but I had the team. They could see something was up. They had to tell me, they had to pull me back.
Yeah.
And all right, I'm going to accept that.
So that's
best decision I made that camp.
Mm. Yeah, right.
That VO2 max the next day, I was kicking ass. Yeah. I was fresh, ready to roll, hit numbers on the bike. And I, you know what I mean? And I was bang, that was it. And I even like, you know, and I accepted, I adapted to that. And I'm like, that was a real good thing. Now I'm pumped. I was more motivated. I was like, I know I got the energy now. I'm going to even train harder the next session. You know, just little things like that. These are little games that, you know, even though I thought I was losing, but I had no choice but to accept that they're not going to let me train. All right, I won't train.
So what's the games
now
though?
I use that as motivations tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's my motivation. You missed out. You got energy now.
Yeah.
Fucking hit 92. 90 is not good enough.
Yeah.
Hit 92 RPM.
And so what's the game in your head though? So like that's the game that you play to get you to train. So what's the game in your head that makes you the hardest worker? So when shit's getting fucking super tough and the first voice pops up to like, we've okay, let's fucking bounce, bro. I mean, like, but then so that's another game that people play. Like my buddy that I was talking about on the mountain bike, there's obviously some shit where like at mile 50, he's still winning the game. Like he's still, there's a, that thing that makes other people want to stop. And if you've got it where like you'll wrestle and you'll do those tough rounds. You want the harder rounds. So there's games that you're playing at that level. Like that's the shit I find super interesting as well.
So that them little games starting off again, like people ask me, what's something, if you could tell someone starting MMA, you know, what's something like, you know, what could you tell them? Like, what would you get them to do? Wrestling, you know, they usually go to something like that. I'm like, hard work. You know, hard work, like, just put, you know, that doesn't mean go break your legs and injure yourself in that. I just mean start early at, you know, playing these games and winning these little games. Yeah, you're sore. Yeah, you might be on your back. Just push yourself now. Make it painful now. Sure. Get uncomfortable now where later you don't have to play them games as much anymore. Because again, it's who I am now. Yep. So these games are like when I'm doing my spider workouts and some of these really hard workouts, I don't feel like I have to, oh no, you know, tell myself, I just do it.
You just do
now
it.
Now I just do it. It's who I am. That's what I mean. But now it's who I am from playing them games and not accepting it and pushing myself and being so uncomfortable where now these uncomfortable positions I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
I always say be comfortable in uncomfortable positions. That's what I use. But, you know, be calm in the chaos, the same thing, right? But it's true. It's just you get yourself in it. Like some of these workouts you do, you literally think you can't do anymore. Like you literally think you can't get back to your feet, but you can and you will. And I know that. So like now I know, so you just do it.
100%.
What is it? That's just do it. That's the
Nike.
That's not in it. Just do it. You know what I mean? But it is. It's true. But again, you know, it does start from a young age. So if young listeners are listening, that's something that will go a long way. Mm-hmm. Hard work. So no matter what it is, whether it is wrestling, you know, you will, if you can go that extra mile, go that extra scramble, you know what I mean? You know, in the gym, you know what I mean? You start doing that early. It just becomes who you are. It's like you won't accept just the, you know, you won't accept, ah, shoot, it's not there. Well, I get that a lot of times. People shoot or when they're getting taken down, they're like, ah.
Yeah.
Stop.
I was like, I'm getting taken down. I was like, oh, no. All right, he's getting me down. I'm like, oh, next best position. You know what I mean? Like, I will not accept flat on my back. I'm going to go here. If he eventually gets it, now I've got to work. Oh, did I do something?
No. Oh, just unplug it from me.
Oh, sorry.
You're on it.
We there? Yeah. So you know what I mean? Like it's just, again, it's just these, they're the little games that you play from the early days and all that. Like, and that could just help you in so many ways, whether it is obviously even with skill, but I mean, hard work does go a long way. Obviously you need to know the techniques and all that, but you know, understand the mechanics, but hard work's going to get you a long way. So that's something. Be comfortable in uncomfortable positions.
Talking about games, obviously becoming the champ and even just being in the UFC, you've been playing a lot of business games and obviously you're getting more exposure. So more people are coming to you with opportunities and, you know, you're releasing things like training, online training programs with BayMed. Mm-hmm. How's the experience with that sort of thing? Has it been fun?
It was what I was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, I was training at home. We all were. Yeah. So I was like, oh yeah, obviously there was a lot of people trying to do exercises and I was like, well, this is my program. Come do it with me.
Mm-hmm.
Do my program with me. Like literally, they're going to film me anyway. You know what I mean? So I'm doing it. So let's put a camera in front of you and let people get that access as well. So it was pretty cool. It was exciting as well. Like it was fun. And again, it was something that I was going to do anyway. Sure. So I need a train. So why not put a camera on there and just work around it?
And you've got books and you've got all of these things that you can obviously leverage the exposure you're getting and the position that you have to create all this awesome stuff. Is there anything that you want to create at the moment?
Is there anything that I want to create?
Yeah.
Another masterpiece with Max Holloway.
Yeah. Well, man, like building your brand and all that sort of stuff is key. So it was a while to find out what my brand was, but now I've accepted that, hey, my brand is me and what we're talking about and things like that. That's why the book that we're talking about is something that it is me. It's something I'm proud of, and it's something that I think will work.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I think it will definitely work. I think it's good for the sport. There's a reason why the UFC wants in on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So and again, it's something that I know a lot of fighters are going to respect it and admire you know, really love. But again, then obviously if this goes good, like obviously the sky's the limit with that. Yeah, you know what I mean? This is a whole different market that no fighters really hit. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so again, there's plenty of business opportunity. I won't throw all at you right now, but I mean, you can see again, that's just who I am, and I'm proud of that. And I ain't gonna, I'm not gonna pretend to be something I'm not. So and there's still a lot of business opportunities there. I believe there's more.
Yeah,
man. I believe there's more when, you said before, who people want to work with, an honest, loyal man, trustworthy man. So,
100% as a business owner and. Be it combat, be it whatever other type of business, I can only imagine if you take that work ethic that's fighting in a cage and you are putting that into your own brand, your own business, whatever it is that you choose to do, man, you'll blow it up. Mm. Like it'll be fucking, I don't exactly know what that's going to be. That'll be exciting as shit to see what that next move post-fighting for you will be. But it'll be ridiculous because... Funnily enough, I believe that work ethic that you have in the cage, if you apply that to business, and people talk about business being hard and all this type of stuff, it's generally just people don't want to work hard.
Yeah.
Mm. But the physical output that you're doing, if you put that into a mental output, creative output, any other form of output, man, it will just lead to success. Mm-hmm. It won't matter whatever you choose to do. It will just lead to skyrocketing success because that's the missing ingredient to pretty much everything.
Yep.
To pretty much 99.9% of people, they're like, I did this and it didn't work out. I did this and I did this and I did this and it didn't work out. But then you just look at them and almost say, but you stopped. Like you were doing something good, but at some stage you got tired and then you were like, fuck it type of thing. Compared to, as you were saying, someone tries to shoot and you keep going, you keep going, you keep going. Your success outside of fighting will come just from sheer work, sheer work and output for sure.
Yeah. Uber successful children's author, man. Former UFC champion.
If there is something I can do to get on with that in terms of helping push that, children's books is my jam. Like I have the biggest collection of children's books from everything from there's some of the best books are like these like they're called 1-2-3 with Jay-Z. So it's like raps from rappers and the rappers are all involved in these children books and it's like characters of them but they like say they're like big one-liners like Biggie Smalls it was all a dream and then it talks about like obviously how he achieved his dream.
That's dope.
It man these books
I need a kid
bro like reading time I actually don't like most people are like oh I gotta read another book when it's those types of books or Volks's books or anything like that I'm like it's exciting it's exciting to read something like that to your kid because you want that like to transfer across to them to all go it was all a dream but now it's a reality for this person and why should it not be a reality for me in the future and that shit's That's the good shit. Like I can't wait to see some of that stuff coming out.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. Brother, man, we've had you for an hour and a half. We know you're busy.
There we go.
We know you're in the, final weeks of your camp of, again, the biggest fight of your life. And we're so happy and honored and feel privileged to sit here with you and be a part of this journey with you. So we appreciate that. Is there any words that you want to leave to the gypsy audience, the combat audience, just anyone out there in general, it could be a quote you live by. It could be, anything. What do you want to leave with us?
Well, I can't leave them with the Nike, just do it. You know what I mean? But man, like, honestly, you know, again, like I said it that many times, man, it just be able to adapt to and accept that you might have to adapt to things, whatever it is, and like being one thing for me, I'm a fighter, right? So I'm going to go that sort of direction. But I mean, you can use it in so many different ways. Again, like I told you, you show me one move, I'm going to make 10 out of that. So the advice that's why be comfortable in uncomfortable positions. I truly do believe that. You know what I mean? Like obviously being calm in the chaos. Yeah. So that's something that I really want people to understand. I know it's pretty obvious what that means, but I mean, you could use that in your everyday life. Yeah. You can use that everywhere, sports, in the gym, in a fight, in the house. You know what I mean? Work, whatever it is. I just believe you can use that, you know, in so many different ways. So, again, you could take it how you want to, understand it the way you want to. Like, we talked about it a fair bit. So, yeah, I won't go off tangent too much because I explained that, and that's sort of the direction that I would want to leave with you, I guess. Be comfortable in uncomfortable positions.
Awesome, brother.
Does that make sense? That makes sense. Because we talked about it the whole time.
Makes perfect sense, bro. Really appreciate it, man. Fuck.
No worries at
all. Awesome podcast.
Make sure you tune in. I'm going to be announcing this book very soon. All right? So I don't even know when exactly we're doing that, but it's coming soon. It's coming very soon.
Epic.
It's going to be good.
Man. Thanks, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man.
No dramas, mate. Anytime.
Sweet. Boom. Beautiful.